Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back it goes to Parkhurst to keep it going, though, trying to connect with Kratz. And running onto it now, Almiron on the left edge of the 18. Almiron sends it into the box, hit it in! A goal by Chris McCann!
Yeah, Chris McCann got free in front of the goal and pounced on it, knocked it in the back of the net, and the Five Stripes had an early lead. They had two leads, and they couldn't hold on to either one of them thanks to one of the best strikes we've seen in Major League Soccer by Alexander Ringham, New York City, when he nailed over about 30 yards for the game-tying goal. That was a wicked shot.
Didn't he come off? Who came? Didn't he come off the bench to do
no,
that?
No, David Villa.
David Villa came at the end of the game. Yeah, to tie it up for the win. Yeah.
So Barco got into the game. So much to talk about from Atlanta United's 2-2 tie with New York City. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. We're talking about this game on the radio. Obviously, we're also talking about it on our. Our social media, Vision Computer's question of the day, talking about Atlanta United, on our Twitter, at 929TheGame, and on our Facebook as well, 929TheGame. Hugh, I want to start here, if I can. It seems to me, and this is one thing that's always driven me kind of crazy a little bit, this is kind of broad. Atlanta's never had many rivals, all right? The only real rival this city has ever had professionally is Swamp People. Outside of that, the Braves have really never had a rival. We keep hoping maybe Washington will become one. There have been many rivalries within there, but never a real rival. The Hawks have never really had a rival, so to speak. I mean, again, many little rivalries within things, but never a real rival. There's been a move by Atlanta United to make Orlando City a rival, but sometimes rivalries are organic. What I saw on the field yesterday between these two, it may not blossom into a rivalry, but boy, for early in the season, that was bad blood nasty on that soccer pitch. It was brutal between those two teams.
Yeah, it was a lot of there's a lot of people falling down. It was a lot of tackling going on out there yesterday. It was really chippy. You're talking about two different styles of play by both teams. New York FC is more of a possession squad. And you could tell that early on in the match that they were really – felt like they were trying to play keep away the first 15 minutes of the match. Felt like they were trying to make sure that they moved the ball well and tried to keep it away from Atlanta United. And Atlanta United speed. They're a fast team. They played aggressive at times. And they were getting up and down the pitch. They got up and down the pitch really well. So you saw two different contrasting styles of play on the pitch yesterday.
Now, notwithstanding the fact that the referee in the game was getting the business from the fans, getting the business on Twitter.
Is that who they were booing?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, before the moments before Garza scored the first goal on the free kick from outside the box, there was an obvious handball by New York, which should have led to a penalty kick for Atlanta United that wasn't called. And
handball?
Yeah, in the box. It was struck and then hit the New York City guy in the forearm. It was obvious. But,
gotcha.
You know, sometimes you do that if you just try and bang it in the line and get a handball call. But, you know, he didn't give it to you, so whatever. Was Joseph offsides on the Nagby goal? Yeah, he was pretty blatantly offsides.
That was kind of messed up, too, the first goal that Darlington scored for the season. Kind of messed up. It got taken away the way that it did.
You know, if they didn't call it from all sides, they could have called it for interference on the goal. Got the keeper. He's standing right there in his grill.
I tell you what, though, as far as the rivalry was concerned, it was obvious. I think Greg Garza tweeted out after the game that it wasn't the outcome that they wanted. But when you look at if that was the class of MLS, I mean, Atlanta United is right there. It's right there with them with the way that they played. So that I think that was a good measuring stick for them. And you know, it's the way that the game went, like they were kind of like the New York FC was kind of like a thorn in the side. I mean, they never really went away. Even when it felt like Atlanta United took control of the match, they never really went away.
Well, when you have, you know, players like they have, like Maxi and Villa, New York City's got a very good football team. LA Football Club now, of course, was Zoltan's got a, you know, they got a team. Galaxy are good. There are a lot of good teams in the league, but I tend to agree with you. I think what we saw yesterday was some maturation from Atlanta United. Look, they were able to go toe-to-toe with arguably the best team in the league on paper, tie them 2-2 in a game they should have won, and get goals from nobody named Almiron, nobody named Martinez, nobody named Barco. I'm glad he got in the game. They got goals from Garza and McCann. And so when they have contributions from the back like that, boy, you know, I think you're right. I think this is a good sign for Atlanta United.
It is. And you know what? I found out just, you know, doing a little show prep that was a 12th straight game that they had of multiple goals. Was it multiple goals at home? Home games with multiple goals. So that was pretty cool. And the atmosphere. Didn't get a chance to see the TIFOs yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did not get a chance to see the TIFOs because I was really trying to pay attention to what was going on the pitch because, like I said, John, that first couple minutes of the match, it just seemed like for everything that New York FC was built up to be, they were kind of soft. They were a little soft.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Another sellout. Of course, every game's been sold out. 45,000 plus on hand for Atlanta United's 2-2 draw with New York City Football Club. And for people who haven't seen soccer and go, oh, what do you mean a tie is interesting? That was a fabulous soccer match. It was full of intrigue. It was full of nastiness. Again, I don't know, Bo and Wendy, you guys were there. I don't know what makes a rivalry, but I will say that this is only the third game between these two. They had a nasty game at Yankee Stadium last year. You could tell that these two have genuinely bad blood between them, these two teams. And that's what will make it is what the guys in the field do, right?
Yeah, the physical play. Yesterday was a physical game. That's what I took away. When I played in high school, I loved the physicality where you can slide tackle people, and there was no hesitation from some of those guys. All that being said, when I left there yesterday, I felt like we lost. Honestly, that's the way I felt leaving the stadium.
No, I can see that. United should have won the game.
They should have won. But as far as, to me, what was odd was, you're right, it was a physical match. It was a lot of pushing and a lot of chippiness going on. But those are some of the most polite individuals that I've ever seen, like, get into it. It was a couple times where guys were getting pushed around on the ground, and they got up and said, hey, buddy. And like, they were just communicating, hey, buddy, you pushed me. That wasn't right. And they're talking to the refs, and I'm looking like, wow.
They're smiling and laughing about it. There's
gentlemen out there. It was really interesting to see that aspect of it because there were a couple times where you see people getting knocked around on the ground and stuff, and for them to get up and you know they were clearly upset, but when they were talking to the guy that did the foul, they were like, "Hey, buddy, you know you kicked my oh I'm sorry I don't think it was a kick, but sorry anyway." Like it was a little bit of that going on yesterday, but it was a good match. It was a good match to watch.
Well, if you follow soccer at all, I don't want to overstate things, but I have to say that I find it interesting, at least in watching Atlanta United. Last year we saw a franchise, Hugh, you know, here's this expansion team. They're fun to watch. They're high scoring. You know, they shot into the kind of the, you know, larger, you know, soccer world. All of a sudden, here comes this Atlanta United with their 70,000 fans, yada, yada, yada. But it was almost like every time you see something different, we see a little bit of growth. And what I saw yesterday was a team that had grown from last year to where maybe last year, and while I agree with Bo that they should have won the game, maybe last year they lose this game because this game required them to go out of their comfort zone. Like I said, McCann and Garza were the ones who scored. They were intent. New York City was intent with taking Martinez out of the game, and it frustrated Joseph. You could see that Joseph was frustrated because they took him out of the game.
Yeah, and you got another thing that you got to give credit for is Carlos was talking about it last week, Bocanegra, defensively. They played some really, really good defense yesterday. Some really, really good defense. So what I take away from the game is that you have two teams that they're definitely going to see each other again in the next few weeks, but they were really trying to fill each other out in that first period. That first period, they were really trying to fill each other out and figure out what they were trying to do, trying to figure out different angles and everything. And then when you saw there was a spurt in the game where Atlanta United speed clearly took over. It took over. But then New York FC got back to the way that they played, and they were able to keep it close. It never was, even though Atlanta United was a much faster team, New York FC never let it get out of sight. They never let them get too far ahead of them, if that makes sense to you. They never let them get out of whack.
Well, I was a little surprised by one thing. United went up 2-1, and then New York FC, they pressed hard and they went really high and sent everybody forward trying to get the equalizer, and they did. Look, that goal by Alexander Ring on the equalizer that he hit from, I don't know, it was close to 30 yards out, right? I mean, 25 at least, was as wicked a strike. I mean, that thing zipped into the box and banged in the box. It was nasty.
That's what they call putting some stank on. It had some stank on it.
Yeah, it was a wicked goal. I mean, Brad Guzan, as great as he's been, had no chance. That thing was 100 miles an hour. It was a rocket shot. But having said that, once they tied the game, New York City decided to drop 9 men back, and they played for the tie. That's why in the last 10 minutes of the game or 12 minutes of the game, everything was in New York City's zone because there was nobody. It was like two guys at midfield and everybody back. They weren't trying. New York City was not trying to score. All they were trying to do was get out of there with a point, which they did successfully, so you can argue it was a good strategy. But it was interesting that New York City decided to play for a tie because that's what they did.
It was kind of interesting to see that point that you're talking about, John, because the man-to-man, I don't think it looked to me like they really couldn't compete with them on that level. It really like that was the thing. So they had to go back to, I guess you would call it a zone coverage or whatever, to keep them from scoring. Because they couldn't run with them. Like toe-to-toe, they couldn't match that speed of Atlanta United.
Yeah, right. And they were so afraid, and respectfully afraid, of Atlanta United's ability to score quickly, especially on the break, especially with the young legs of Barco in there, the fresh legs of Barco. They said, look, if we can get out of here with a tie, we'll take the point and we'll go home. And so they put everybody back in their defensive end and said, you guys can have the ball, but we're not going to let you score.
Yeah, but I think that was smart on their part because you're talking about a team that, what it was like, 4 points was the difference between these two teams coming into this match. And I think that New York FC had the 4 points. So, yeah, when you're in a position where you don't match up well man-to-man, then you have to do what's best for you. You have to do what's in your favor. And that's play for the tie, if you will.
Well, here's another little thing that I thought was interesting from yesterday, and I don't know. I'm just kind of, as we grow with Atlanta United, again, last year was kind of Atlanta United fun, right? I mean, we had
it's still fun.
Yeah, no. I mean, all right. Let me see if I can explain. Last year was about the newness of the team. There was a new stadium. There was this new club. There was this new game. They were fun to watch. Yesterday it was like, okay, we're past the newness now. Now we're actually kind of locked in here. Let's go win a title. And yesterday felt like a playoff game.
I could see that. And from listening to the announcers on the telly, they talked about how intense this crowd was and how great this crowd was. I think that when you look at this team, there's a lot of optimism for that. And yesterday, I look at it more so for Atlanta United as a measuring stick. You know, you got a team that comes in that's undefeated, you know, and they're playing well. And you get off to a rough start. Now you want to see how good you could potentially be. And yesterday, again, that first few minutes of the match, it seemed like they were filling each other out. They seemed like they were filling each other out initially. And then once Atlanta United said, okay, we can go, and they started to pick up the pace a little bit, that's when New York FC kind of pulled back a little bit and went to that zone.
Yeah, it was intense. Did it have Wendy and Bo, you were both there at the game. Did it have the feel at the game of anything different, or was it a normal United game, or was it because it was coming across, Hugh and I watched it on television, it came across as a little bit more than just a regular season game. That's the way it felt on TV.
I mean, the energy's always high in Mercedes-Benz anytime Atlanta United plays. So for me, it felt normal, like a normal game. Everyone was loud per usual, and the crowd was amped.
Very, very loud. They were. I could like hear the dude chanting, beating the drums.
Yeah, the chanting was insane.
Game long. Boom, boom, boom.
It was awesome.
When you go to a United game, even at Bobby Dodd, when I went to games there, it feels like we're across the pond. It doesn't feel like we're in Kansas City for a game or, you know, Columbus where these guys. It just feels different. Along with the supporter groups, the United franchise has done such a good job at creating this atmosphere that is just, there's no way it's not the best atmosphere in the MLS.
And Hugh, interesting though, you know, I'm a soccer fan, have been for my whole life. And so I'm not new to the sport, but I am new to Major League Soccer. And we're all new to Atlanta United, right? At the same time, whether you're new to soccer or not, everybody's new to Atlanta United. We're a year and six games in. We're all also, most of us are also new to Major League Soccer. Because one of the things that I noticed last year was that for the most part, the teams were faceless to me that we were playing because I didn't know the guys on the other team. You know, everybody, it was just a bunch of guys. I didn't know who we were playing against for the most part, unless there was somebody who was on the American national team that I was familiar with. You know, but you know, Jose Altidore at Toronto, for example. You know, I mean, I know who Jose Altidore is. I'm a soccer fan. But now we're starting to see these teams multiple times. Now you're starting to see guys like Maxi Morales, who was an American national team member, I get it, and David Villa and Alexander Ring. And now you know, so the next time when you play New York City Football Club, we start to talk about the match going into the match. We're going to go, remember the last game when Ring hit that shot and Villa came into the game and Maxi Morales shoved, you know, Larenowitz out of bounds and all that nastiness that went on.
And got up and they had a gentleman's conversation. I'm sorry. Did I offend you? Did I push you? No, buddy. It's going to be okay. I mean, to me, that was the most interesting thing about the match that I watched was how everybody got up. It was so polite after they like fell down like they were about to die and got up and was like, hey, I'm sorry, buddy. You okay? And help each other up. No, not in American football. You don't do that. But it was fun. It's always fun to watch, man. And it's always, you know, can't wait to the next match because I'm going to definitely try to get down there and see it in person because it's about that time.
The next match is on the road. It's next Saturday at LA Galaxy. And then the next home game a week from then on the 28th against the Montreal Impact on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So
there you have it.
Yeah, there you have it.
And it should be Montreal, nice and warm.
Hopefully I have the roof open. That'd be great. That'd be kind of cool, I think. It is the Morning Show with John and Hume. A lot of big news going on in the National Football League 10 days ahead of the NFL draft. None bigger than Dez.
Just when you thought they couldn't be more raw.
Is the pollen kicking your guys' butts too?
Yes, sir.
I don't have pollen allergies.
Nope.
They open their mouths.
I actually did a line of pollen off my car. Just
gross. Rick and John, middays 10 to 2. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Any better way to start a Monday than with the very latest from the National Football League. Yeah, because here it is, 10 days out from the NFL draft, and there's going to be news this week, okay? They're going to be, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. At least two pieces of news that we certainly know of, and maybe more.
One is
Dez Bryant, and the other relates to our Vision Computer poll question of the day.
Yes, and it's at 92.9 The Game on our Twitter page, along with our Facebook page, also at 92.9 The Game. The NFL regular season schedule is going to come out this week at some point, but the NFL won't tell us when it's going to be. We're assuming it's going to be Thursday, but if the Falcons end up opening on the road, also presuming that the Eagles are going to play Minnesota in that Thursday night football game.
Well, the Eagles are going to open at home in that Thursday night game.
Correct.
And the Eagles have to open at home. They have to.
And I'm 99.9999% certain it will not be the Falcons.
Most people are thinking it is going to be the Vikings that will be playing the Eagles on that Thursday night opener. But what if the Falcons are on the road, what game would you rather see? Is it the Steelers, the Packers, the Browns, or the Saints? And right now, this one's a close one. 27% say the Saints, 26% want to be in Pittsburgh, 24% Cleveland, and 23% in Green Bay. So this one's a close one.
I say Pittsburgh. I want to see Pittsburgh. Great measuring stick. But then again, knowing historically that the Falcons tend to get off to a little bit of a slow start, I don't feel like being in here in the first day and say something happens ill in Pittsburgh and everybody just going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. So I would probably say Cleveland. I go for the, hey, give me the Diamond Girl the first game of the season. Just, you know what I mean? But then again, you look at Chicago last year. But no, I'm taking Cleveland. I take Cleveland. Cleveland all day.
Yeah,
Cleveland.
That's what I chose Cleveland because I would like to here's the thing. When you look at Pittsburgh, at Green Bay, and at Cleveland, no matter which of those games you play, if you play one of those games in December, it could be snow, right? All outdoors, all up north, there could be snow. The reason I chose at Cleveland is because I actually think that Cleveland won't end up being the Diamond Girl of the NFL this
year. Diamond Girl!
I think that they're a 6-7 win team by the time it's said and done. I think they've done a nice job. You know, if they're not, that's Hugh Jackson's fault.
They didn't win a game.
And I give him two.
How many games? How many games is Hugh?
You're giving him six.
With Cleveland.
One.
You're giving him one. I'm going to give him six.
One game.
Well, I know, right. I'm going to give them 6 wins
this year. I give them 3.
But I don't want them to get their feet underneath them like by week 7 and suddenly be 3-3, and the next thing you know.
That's why you get them in the first
game. That's why I want them in the first game.
Diamond girl.
No, remember, they didn't win a game. But what? They had 5 or 6 games they could have won. It was maybe 7 games they could have won last year.
Well,
could
have, would have, should have, John.
Well, but
they're
going to be a much better team. Look, they've got Jarvis Landry now. I mean, they went out and made
it. They said that last year, though, John, with the defensive players that they got. They
could have Saquon Barkley and Sam Darnold, for crying out loud.
No, Hugh Jackson's on the clock, though. There's no question about that. He's on the clock. He's definitely on the clock. And I know you're being optimistic, as you should be. Six wins is realistic, and to your point, is the way that they lost some games, the way that they lost a lot of games last year. There were a few times they were leading in the game, and they just couldn't put it together.
Well, I just don't want to play Pittsburgh or Green Bay in the snow in December. This is not a game I want to play.
So you play them in the first game of the season.
It get cold up there, too, boy. It's been cold.
So this is our Vision Computer poll, brought to you by Vision Computers, where an average hold time is less than 15 seconds. Vision Computer's right up there off Jimmy Carter and right there, 85, and I am a Vision Computer guy, and I always like to say, because I want to be transparent with you, I don't do their ads, they don't pay me, I just happen to go to Vision Computers because I really like what they do. It's preloaded, all the software, all the security, all the everything is on there, and when I need something on my computer, I pick up the phone and they say, hey, what can we do for you? And it's not, you don't have to call Bangalore. I'm just saying, okay? It's pretty simple. It's right up there up the road. The other piece of news, so the schedule is going to come out, and we're guessing Thursday, could be Wednesday night, Thursday, somewhere in there on the NFL Network. That'll be one piece. The other piece of news is that Dez Bryant's going to have a new team, okay? Because he's got so many suitors, he is going to have a new team this week. The only question is which team. Now, Dez is talking. He was released by the Cowboys, just cut. They said goodbye, and Dez said this. He said it was about that there was an anti-movement inside the locker room in Dallas where Jason Garrett's guys got him.
I'm not here to bash anybody, but I got to keep it real. Jerry Jones, he loved me to death, and I love him too. I honestly believe in my heart, you know, this was a hard decision for him, but when it's 5 or 6 guys at a table against one guy, you got to do it.
Well, that does not bode well. There's problems in that Dallas locker room, and they just surface like nobody's business, Hugh.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I think there's something to it. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. Where there's smoke, there's fire. If for him to sit there and say Jerry Jones loves me, I don't know about that. They did labor. They did kind of mill this over for a long time. They really, really did. But at the end of the day, like I guess it was Primetime tweeted out this weekend, it's a business decision, and you are not a part of their long-term plans. You look at some of the balls. Dez Bryant had a lot of drop balls. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since, what was it, 2014, 2015, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. He's not been the guy that has had all that bravado in the receiver that he used to be. He ain't been the same cat since that. You go back to say Venture, that Green Bay game. Now, he's had his moments, but when you look at last year and some of the glaring drops that he had during the season, that right there is that could get you cut, especially when you're talking about making, what, $12 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have those. You cannot have those.
Yeah, so Dallas just like cut him. And one report said that within 2 minutes of the news breaking on Twitter, within 2 minutes of the news breaking, Dez's agent had 3 phone calls. From 3 teams within 2 minutes.
I will say this, because Dez said, I guess on the way out the door, Dez said something to the effect that I'll see you twice a year. And a lot of people were speculating what team did he mean by that. And I think that the leader in the clubhouse was the Philadelphia Eagles, so much so that the Philadelphia Eagles came out and made a statement and said, no, we don't have any interest in Dez Bryant.
I could see the Washington Redskins. Alex Smith, you know, I could see San Francisco with Garoppolo. I could see Washington with Alex Smith.
You know,
Smith.
What's funny? The thing about that is, and you're right, potentially Washington could be a landing spot. But to see Dez Bryant in a Redskins uniform, that would be the absolute weirdest thing. Like, that would definitely be weird. But anything is possible, John. You're right. Anything is possible.
Well, here's what Dez said about this. And to your point, here's one more cut from Dez Bryant about being cut.
You do wrong to people, you know, nothing good happens on the other end. I don't care how great it look on the outside. It's all about what it is on the inside.
I don't understand what he's talking about.
He said, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back.
But this is the thing that.
That's why he wants to play him twice. See, well, that's why I think it's going to be Washington.
This is confusing me because you just said that Jerry Jones loves you. If Jerry Jones loves, like, he's the president. He's the guy. If there was any, like, if you probably could have been there if you were producing. I mean, I don't think, this is the thing. When you get cut, it feels personal in the beginning, but it's not. It's business. It's business, and the NFL is in business of production. Like, if you're not producing, if you're not out there producing on the field, you got to go.
Well, he is 29. I mean, and he's on. I'm sorry, but Dez Bryant has crested the hill. Okay, he could have another big year. He could have another two. But
no,
I
don't disagree with his crest. But is this, John? When you look at receivers of his caliber, and 29. Realistically, for a receiver in the NFL, a good one, that's when you kind of like hitting your stride. You know what I mean? It's like, especially with a guy with his size and his speed, you're supposed to be hitting your stride about 30, 32. You know what I mean? So for him to be 29 and his numbers are starting to decline, that's kind of telling about, you know, a little bit of probably about his work ethic and the way that he viewed himself.
There's a little bit of breaking news here in this hour from the NFL. This is not a surprise, but it is new this morning and just in. James Harrison has gone on his Instagram and posted a series of pictures of his kids, and everybody is saying that James Harrison's way of saying, I'm done.
Man, what is it, 14 years? That's a long time playing in the trenches. Salute to him, one of the hardest working guys in NFL. James Harrison was cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers early in his career. And they brought him back, and he became an MVP player, Super Bowl MVP, and went to the Super Bowl, dominant player, potential Hall of Famer. I would say that he would probably be in the Hall of Fame talk just for his longevity alone, and had some of the sickest, craziest videos of his workouts on the internet. Like, that guy got it in. That he definitely got it in.
So James Harrison and all the buzz is James Harrison has for the second time and for the last time retired. Well, he's going to be 40 this year. So
the second time.
Yeah. Well, didn't he kind of retire that goes
Wait
to
a minute, he's
doing
40, he's not 40, is he? Is he about to be 40?
He's about to be 40.
Get out of town.
Yeah, James Harrison's an old guy. He's in the late 30s, isn't he? I mean, he's not very far away from 40, is he?
What, 30? I got to see. Let me look at the Google.
He'll turn 40 on May the 4th.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Salute to him.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him. He played a long time, man. Salute. Yeah. Salute.
I mean, one thing if you're a quarterback or a kicker, another thing, you're a defensive end and an outside linebacker.
Yeah. I tell you, man, it was just, Bo just told me, like, he there were some workouts. I guess at the Pittsburgh game, he went to the gym and got it in. Man, salute to him. I mean, to play till you're damn near 40 in the trenches, that's phenomenal.
You know, Bo just tweeted out, and it's a good question. Does Harrison decide to sign late in the season with a contender? He could. He could do it again. He could come in week 15 or week 13, and suddenly here's James Harrison just a
– Ooh, I don't know about that, John.
L.A. Hey, Rams or something.
Ooh, if you you take that much time off, boy, and try to play, I don't know if he could do that. Now, I got a lot of respect for him, but that's a lot. That's a lot to do.
On this Monday, hopefully you have a safe drive. And it's going to be a good day. I know it's overcast and a little bit chilly this morning, but you're going to have a good Monday. But we're going to tell you one thing you got to delete from your Facebook. With all this Facebook talk, got a story here that says you got to delete it. We'll tell you what that is next to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Welcome back to the morning show. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. You're going to have a good Monday, I can tell already. I see you in your car. You're going to have a good Monday. Trust us. It's going to be a good day. Now, you've heard a lot maybe lately about a certain social media platform, first name, face, last name, book, that has been under fire from the U.S. Congress, right? Okay. A couple of things about this. Because of the nature of the fire that is being thrown at Facebook, which, by the way, you should know, has only been around for 14 years, and which, by the way, you should know, has more users, more users than the entire population of China and the United States combined, 1.9 billion people are on Facebook.
That's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
Man, one out of basically just one out of every three people in the world, just about, more or less, are on Facebook. One out of every three. So the UK Independent, which is one of the big newspapers in London, one of the big powerhouse newspapers, decided to take a dive into Facebook because people are deleting Facebook, and what they want to know is, what instead of deleting Facebook, should you delete some things off Facebook to protect yourself? And so they did a big story, and they got all these experts together and said, what do you need to delete off Facebook, and what are you hurting yourself with? Some of them who are obvious, like, for example, the story says credit card details. Well, of course. You should never put credit card details.
You know what's funny? Like early on in Facebook, you know how you're online and you order stuff or you play games or whatever and you do that? And when you started getting like fraudulent activity on your credit card, that's when you stop. But some people do buy it. Some people have Facebook has all their information. They have all their information.
All right. So it has a number of things that I thought were interesting here for you to delete when you get to the office today. You should consider deleting these following things. One, your relationship status. It says, no, it says psychologist.
No, I'm just laughing because I can just see some people going through there just, you know.
No, John, don't encourage that. A lot of guys are going to get in trouble today.
Well, no, it says no. It just says this. The psychologists are saying that the relationship status on Facebook is causing problems for most people who are single because they bounce back and forth between in a relationship to single, and that status change makes them feel worse about the fact that they're single. So just quit doing it.
Are you kidding me?
No, what is that?
Wait a minute. What does that have to do with the actual issues that Facebook is having right now? What?
This is part of the story.
You know what? Yeah, we need to slap somebody for that first one. All
right. Yeah, John, that has nothing to do with that personal information with getting leaked. That's just how people's feelings. Like, sorry, your feelings are hurt today.
Okay, I'm suffering from low self-esteem today.
Yeah. All right, when and where you're going for your vacation.
Now we all know agree this, with that. Okay? That's what, don't tweet your
vacation until you get back from your vacation. We've said this a million times. Never tweet your vacation until you get back from your vacation. So people don't know you're gone. And also, it says turn off your tag locations. People forget, the story says, that tagging your location at home actually gives your address away.
Yeah, because you can go on a map and figure out Google Maps. Google it and figure that out.
Photographs of your young children and your family members, because they're saying now that that's how pedophiles are tracking people through social media. Your birthday. Your birthday should never be on Facebook. They're saying your birthday is an important puzzle, part of the puzzle that includes, for identity theft.
You can put your birthday, just don't put the year you were born, because you could just put whatever instead of just the year, because that way they can't figure it completely out.
Or maybe you just put the year and not the date.
Okay.
Right. Well, one of the two, right?
Did you just?
No, just put the day, not the year.
Not the year? Okay.
Because that way people still need to wish you happy birthday.
All right, so this one probably doesn't go as well to the whole Facebook.
I don't have my correct date on there.
Personal thing, but I thought it was interesting in the story. The final point this makes is, that, again, we're back to the psychology professors at Oxford University in England who said, you should delete most of your friends. And the Oxford psychology professors are saying that human beings can maintain you approximately 150 stable relationships.
Dude, come on. Like, whoever made that list, John, they're ridiculous. Like, the whole thing of, like, most of the people that you know on your Facebook page, you're not that cool. You're cool with probably not even that many people. But it's the fact that... Like you make connections for whatever reason. You might meet some people you haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But to say you only supposed to have 150 friends on Facebook, that's ridiculous.
They say getting rid of the dead wood can make for healthier interactions with social media, and that way too many people, especially millennials, treat Facebook friends as real friends.
They do. They treat what's the Twitter followers as real friends. And you can't do that. You can't do that. But that list. As far as the whole Mark Zuckerberg thing going, that whole inquiry, I saw a little bit of that Friday. That was kind of telling. It was almost like your dad chastising somebody about, you know, a computer or something that they really don't know that much about. Because listening to some of the testimony or whatever, there are a lot of other, like, companies that we use on a daily basis that are doing way worse stuff than Zuckerberg has done. I think the biggest issue for him is that they knew about it and they didn't do anything about it.
With Cambridge Analytica?
Yeah, that's what it was, because you talk about the whole mining of information. They've been doing that forever.
Well, and to that point, you and I have discussed this, and I've tried to impress this again. Facebook, it's hard to explain to some of the college kids. When I go to speak at Kennesaw State or Georgia State, and by the way, I'll come speak at your high school too. I'd love to talk
plug,
to the kids.
Shameless plug.
No, but I do it for free.
I'll come speak too.
No, I
won't say nothing that's worth nothing, but I'll come holler at
no,
y'all.
No, it's not a promo. I just want the teachers to know that I talk to speech classes and journalism classes.
Eat your vegetables.
And I enjoy doing it.
And listen to your teachers.
But one of the things I talk about, because millennials like my daughter and your kids too, Hugh, when you're 21, 22, or even younger, you've grown up with this stuff. You don't know that it's only been around for 14 years. We don't know what this thing is capable of. There's good with social media and bad with social media, and we don't know what this is really all about yet. We're still figuring, it's still in its infancy.
But you know what it is, John? It's just that, like, we as older individuals, we move forward more caution. And when you start talking about your personal information, stuff like that, we start thinking about, you know, having your stuff traded on the dark web and things of that nature. Kids don't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that's why when all this stuff about Facebook came out, I asked some of my friends, are you going to delete your Facebook page? To a man, they said, no, but I am going to delete my Messenger on my phone, because one of the things that a lot of people talked about was how they were trying to figure out whether or not Facebook was listening to your conversations on the phone.
Yeah, I deleted, I turned off my... The photo. I went through and turned off the photo, turned off the camera, turned off all this stuff on Messenger, right?
Because that was one of the things they were trying to see if they were trying to figure out if they were listening to your conversation
or
whatnot.
Right. Hey, again, we're just learning a lot about it. When we get back, the Braves are back in town tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, where they stand licking their wounds after the collapse in Chicago. We'll talk about that next as we continue with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.